Welcome to the podcast, Entrepreneur Perspectives, building and protecting your business one podcast at a time, a Kesource family production. In this episode, we are going to talk about push-ups, family, and making an impact. Our guest today is Evan Cutler, founder of Push Ups for Parkinson's. Evan lives in Charlotte, North Carolina with his wife and three kids. Evan is a key person in the financial services industry, but more than anything, he is an entrepreneur making a difference. On June 23rd, 2015, exactly 2 years prior to his father's passing, Evan committed to the Parkinson's community 100 push-ups every day for the rest of his life. If he lives until his father's age of 74, he will get to 1 million push-ups. He is using this as a way to spread awareness about Parkinson's disease, to recognize the strength and hope of so many, and to raise funds for the Parkinson's Association of the Carolinas. Evan brings perspective of someone with positive energy and the passion to make an impact. We see this with Evan every time we are around him. I've known Evan personally since 2004 and have seen his leadership and positivity for many years, and I'm excited to feature Evan on this podcast. Let's get into it. Evan, welcome to the Entrepreneur Perspectives Podcast. It's great to have you.
Eric, thank you. Thank you not only for having me, but also thank you for the work you're doing in this area and all areas. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you saying that. So we're going to get started. We're going to go with 10 questions requiring a more thoughtful response and end with 10 rapid-fire questions. You ready?
I am ready. Push-ups have already happened today, so my blood's moving.
There we go. All right, so you heard the intro about you, but of course we can't do you justice in one opening statement. So tell us something real about you that the audience doesn't know.
Yep, thanks again. I'll start by saying I, just like many of the people listening, more than likely, are part of the sandwich generation. The sandwich generation being people around midlife, 40, 50 years old, who are helping take care of dependent children and helping take care of dependent, you know, parents, caring for parents at the same time as taking care of kids. So not only are we helping our kids and our family members, but we're also in charge of three different sets of money. We're in charge of our own money, we're in charge of our kids' money, and in some cases we're helping our parents with our money. So that's kind of the sandwich generation defined. And I guess I'll start about 50 years ago when I was born in New York City in the Bronx. And I remember as a little young kid, my grandfather had Parkinson's disease. And back then, you know, what was Parkinson's? There really was not much information about it. There were not a lot of resources about Parkinson's disease. There was not a lot of awareness like there is today. And so it was just something that was there. And fast forward about 35 years later to about 16 years ago, my father was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. And that's kind of the beginning of the journey with push-ups for Parkinson's and how everything kind of started, as I watched my dad very diplomatically go through the disease. And, you know, he inspired me. And that's how this whole thing started. He was an inspiration. He took one foot in front of the other. He did not pity himself. He just kept moving forward. And he took it on like a big man. And he took it like a strong big man. And I just watched and I was inspired. And I wanted to figure out something to be able to do back for him, to inspire him back. And that's how push-ups for Parkinson's kind of started. I said, Dad, I'd like to do something for you and Mom, because I was inspired by my mother as well. She was amazingly strong. And I said, I got an idea, Dad. I'm gonna do 100 push-ups every day for the next 100 days in honor of you and in honor of your journey. And I started doing these push-ups, 100 push-ups every single day. And I started noticing it helped. It helped my breathing. It helped my stress level. It helped my mental capacity. It helped me get through my day. It helped me pray. And it just started helping me in amazing ways. next blink of an eye, 100 days came and went, and I said, I had another epiphany. I said, Dad, I think I'm just going to keep doing this forever. And he got a great chuckle out of it. And, you know, each day he would ask me, Current, did you do your push-ups? Did you do your push-ups? And every day I'd make sure I did the push-ups, and I'd post them on Facebook. And that's how this thing started building. And I kind of noticed that it was really helping me. And then the next thing you know, some of my friends were starting to do push-ups to support me and my family and to support their own situations. And this thing started to snowball. And that's kind of how push-ups for Parkinson's kind of started, Eric.
Yeah, and we witnessed this. Like you said, it was on Facebook, it's on social media. Of course, I've known you for many years, and you know, you were impacted by your father, and I guess it's this snowball, like you said, that just grew over time. But clearly you're impacting people every day. I mean, you're impacting us to a point where we said, we have to have Evan on this podcast to talk about push-ups for Parkinson's and what it means to him, why he's doing it. And like you just said, it's an incredible story. And it's an inspiration to everybody. I mean, that's just for whatever they do, whether it's for Parkinson's or something else, or just like you said, just to be healthy. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing story. It's an amazing journey. So in your work at Push-Ups for Parkinson's, what is the focus of it, and what's your ultimate goal for the organization and then yourself?
My personal main focus, which I think is what is contagious, is the mental and the physical commitment that I've implemented, and that is the 100 push-ups every single day. And my intent is not for people to just commit to 100 push-ups every day necessarily, but my intent more so is for people to make a mental and physical commitment to any number of push-ups, a daily commitment. I don't care if it's 5 push-ups, 10, 20 push-ups. It helps your mental and your physical state of mind to make that challenge to yourself and to make that commitment to yourself. For me personally, everybody's busy, okay? We're all busy. We all have families. We all have things. We all have issues. We all have stress. That's a given. The fact of the matter is, I said to myself, there is no day that passes by when I don't have time to do my 100 push-ups. There is no day when I don't have that amount of time. So that became my personal mission, is to keep that going, again, for the mental, for the physical commitment, for betterment. And then in the bigger picture, to have others do the same, and to have other people get out of their comfort zone and make their own physical and mental commitment. Why? To improve themselves, even if it's just a little. And ultimately, my goal and the epiphany that I mentioned with the journey, my goal became to create something like the Ice Bucket Challenge, you know, a push-up challenge. I want other people to do a push-up, maybe in an exotic location, or maybe in a funny manner, to do a push-up with your grandchild on your back, or whatever the case may be, and post it on social media, and get other people to do it, and really turn this into a movement, to a push-up challenge, helping people mentally, physically, creating the awareness. So that's really what this whole thing's about, Eric.
Yeah, no, I understand that. So it's funny that you say having a kid on you. I mean, that's the type of thing, like the Ice Bucket Challenge, that it created awareness around it, right? But people were having fun with it for the better good, for the betterment, like you say, right?
Right. I want it to be fun. I don't want people to hurt themselves. I don't want people to strain themselves. I'm not a doctor. It's not about that. It's just about the personal, you know, the personal individual commitment to betterment. And it's bigger than Parkinson's, too. Much bigger than Parkinson's, because it's also about the caregivers. The caregivers don't get the credit they deserve. They don't get the help that they often need and deserve. And many times, things people are going through is harder for the caregiver than it is for the person actually going through the condition or the illness. So it's much broader than Parkinson's, if you see what I mean.
I do. I think most people would see that. So taking, you know, all that you've done for push-ups for Parkinson's and all that you're doing for it, removing all that for a second, what is your passion?
I just can't remove it. It's okay. Too plastered in my daily life, but I understand the question. I'll go to the cliche of helping people, and it's partly a cliche, but it doesn't have to be a cliche. I think actions speak a lot louder than words. I want to be able to help myself selfishly. I want to be able to help other people who may be dealing with struggles, stresses, and I want to inspire people and encourage hope, because there is always hope. And like we said earlier, it's much bigger than Parkinson's. It's caregivers. And if you're not a caregiver, you either were a caregiver or you probably will be a caregiver one day. Almost all of us either will, are, or have been a caregiver. So check yourself on that, because be prepared. Like we talk about in our industry, be prepared, right? Be prepared for things that might come about with different types of illness that you might have to deal with. And this is one way to help that. I've come across a lot of caregivers across many disease states, and there's so many similarities in what people need help with. Basic things like writing checks, keeping up with bills, going through power of attorney documentation. That stuff can be beyond overwhelming when you're trying to help somebody through a disease. So you and I, Eric, being in financial services for so long, we get to talk about products and solutions, but when you see some of the products and solutions, it helps the situation. It helps relieve some of the stresses. So you ask me my passion. It seems like my business life, my personal life, and everything in between has really converged together, and it's kind of one big topic. It's really come to helping people become stronger, become more prepared, and, you know, help caregivers. That's really what it comes down to.
Well, everything's come, like you said, to this meeting point, this intersection, and it's an amazing thing when you see it, and I've seen it in you in our conversations. Obviously, I'm seeing it even more in this specific conversation, and I like your answer. There is no right or wrong answers to any of these questions, by the way. So when I ask what your passion is, like, I kind of already know where it's at. And what's cool about it is you live it. You're living your passion. It is exactly what you say it is. You know, it is push-ups for Parkinson's and everything that's around that. And like you said, it's bigger than all that. So I understand it, but it's obviously got, it's a big commitment on your part. You know, you have, like you said before, you know, the sandwich generation, and you have to give up a lot of your time for push-ups for Parkinson's, which of course you love doing because that is your passion. But being a father, being very busy, and like you said before, everyone's busy, we get all that, but it's still a lot to undertake. So what is your perspective on being that person that's able to do all of these different things today, and you lead a busy business life as well?
Sure. Yep. Thank you. And the busyness factor, you know, I hear people say they're busy, they can't return a call. I can't take the excuse any longer, okay? And I mean that tongue in cheek to some degree. Everybody's busy. It comes down to, I think, four things that you can apply in your home life, in your business life, for your entrepreneurs that listen to these podcasts, for anyone in business. I've broken it down to four categories that I think everybody can improve on and focus on, and those are focus, discipline, leverage, and efficiency. Focus and discipline, leverage, and efficiency. If we can chip away, without changing what we're doing on a daily basis, but if we can just chip away at one or two or three or all four of those things, even a little bit, you're going to make a difference over time in your time management, okay? In the way you run your day versus letting your day run you. And if you want to be a better dad, a better parent, a better husband, spouse, whatever you want to be, almost everything, I think, comes down to those four categories: focus and discipline, leverage, and efficiency. It's taking good care of your calendar, leveraging relationships, leveraging your resources, and really the focus and discipline. We all know, most people know what we need to do. The successful people go ahead and do it.
Strong. And I think you've made points already about, you know, you starting to take, you doing 100 push-ups. And then it turned into push-ups for the rest of your life. And you chipped away at it, right? Little by little by little. And it's not like you're going to show up tomorrow and the discipline that you give your business is going to change astronomically overnight, right? You're saying, just chip away at it. Get a little bit better, like probably 1% better every day, 2% better every day. And eventually, like you just said, it's going to make a difference. And these are the things that are hard for people, is because they're like, I can't get to that point. Well, no, you can't get to that point tomorrow, but if you chip away at it little by little every single day, you can get to that point. And I think that's the point that you're making. And it applies to everything that you're doing, whether it's push-ups for Parkinson's, your business, your life, just controlling it all, being a father, being a husband, right? Doing all those things.
Indeed. Not saying any of it's easy, because none of it really, right. Frankly, none of it's easy. Nothing's easy, but...
Yeah,
you're right. You know, you bite off pieces you can chew. I started 100 every day for 100 days, and then I decided to keep going. 100 days forever. I mean, 100 push-ups forever now. And you heard the intro. Eventually, it'll get to 1 million. Coincidentally, if I live almost exactly to my father's age, I'll get to the million.
Yeah, and it all ties. It's,
one day at a time.
Absolutely. So. You did the push-ups, right? You did the 100 push-ups, and then you said, I'm going to do push-ups until your father's age when he passed away. But then you became the founder of Push-Ups for Parkinson's. That's, to me, taking it to even another level. And obviously, we know why you did the push-ups and did all this, and then taking on this extra role. Why did you want to take on the challenge of not just doing the push-ups and not just creating awareness around it, but becoming the founder of Push-Ups for Parkinson's?
Well, I ask myself that question often as well.
Yeah.
But it just blends itself to the things we've talked about. I want to make more of a difference in my own life and in other people's lives. And I'm already doing a lot of the work with physically the push-ups, and other people are starting to hear and see about it and talk about it and relate to it. So I thought it would make sense, and it would make for more efficiency, frankly, to put a wrapper around this thing so that it has the wrapper around it. And getting back to the focus and discipline and leverage and efficiency, I thought it would help if I packaged it. It might actually make the process easier, you know, to build on the name, to build on the concept. So that's a little bit of behind the why. Again, it has to do with the inspiration that I received from my father and mother and my wanting to inspire back. It's a little cliche, but
no.
It's the truth.
Yeah, no, it is the truth. Well, how have the national Parkinson's organizations responded to you and your cause?
On a national level, you know, I'm really not there yet, to be perfectly frank. I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
I know of places I need to go with that, and I have some people and friends who are going to help me do it, and that's something I want to reiterate, is to have the support and the help and the other people who can help the cause. You can't do any of this stuff by yourself. So I do have some friends that are going to help me. They are willing to leverage, there's that word again, leverage their contacts. But you have to do things in order. So I don't have the website 100% ready. I want to make sure I have the right pieces of the puzzle in place before I try to take it to that next level. But what has happened so far locally is the Parkinson's Association of the Carolinas, which is an established nonprofit 501c3 here in Charlotte, is their base. They've really liked the idea, embraced the topic, and they're helping support and promote the topic and the idea. They're very involved in bettering the community, the Parkinson's community. Helping caregivers is really their main cause, their main function. and they really liked it, so they've invited me to speak to some of their support groups. They've invited me to their symposium, and I've got to meet people at those places that have also agreed to perhaps help the cause. So one day at a time, one moment at a time, nationally, you know, maybe I can convince great people like you, Eric, to help me grow it bigger.
Right.
But one day at a time.
Yeah, and that's one of the big reasons we want you on the show, because in what way can we help, right? And we hope this podcast can be a platform for that in a genuine way, because it deserves that. And you just mentioned too, though, your strong network and leverage, and it's a great word, but it goes back to, you know, I've known you for a long time, and you've always introduced people, you've always connected people, but having those relationships you've built over the years, right? You weren't born yesterday. You've gone through this. You've gone through the snowball effect, as you've talked about, and you've done things the right way. So how has, you know, leveraging those people, but like, even for the entrepreneur, regardless if they're, you know, building an organization like you're building, or they're building their business or their company, they're just getting started in financial services or any business that they're getting started in, you know, building these relationships 10, 20, 30 years ago, now all of a sudden, here you are with this incredible cause that you're going after, and you're able to tap into these connections, this network that you have. Talk about that for a second and what that's meant to you.
Sure. In terms of elevating the cause, as you call it, I have found it enlightening, the genuine interest people have when we talk about this, the general genuine interest people have in helping, because so many people have a similar story, and everybody's going through their own journey, right? And people want to be involved. They want to understand what I'm doing, and they are very much wanting to help in some way, if possible. So, you know, I travel a lot for work, and I'm sitting at a Marriott Courtyard, as an example, and inevitably the person next to me will say, you know, what do you do for a living, right? And one of the things I always say is I create awareness for Parkinson's disease, and that's how the conversation starts. And I've made a conscious effort to get that conversation started, but it hasn't taken a lot of effort on my part, because people always want to know what you do for some reason, right?
Yeah.
And when the story comes out, somebody will say, oh, my grandfather had Parkinson's, or my aunt has this condition or that condition. And again, it's less about the Parkinson's, and it's more about the similarities that many of us are going through, whatever the condition is, because of the caregiver component. But to elevate the cause, like your initial question was, I've really found it enlightening. The other thing I have found super enlightening is the people that actually show up and want to help, and the people who don't show up and didn't show up when I was dealing with the hardest time through my father's passing. So that's where I go back to the phrase, actions speak louder than words. So when I was really going through the last weeks of my father's life, and when he actually passed, it was enlightening and surprising to me, the people who weren't there. Silence, chirping, you know?
Yeah.
People that I thought would show up to offer that lending hand weren't there. And it was also enlightening in a positive way to see the people that did step up to the plate and acknowledge the situation and offer to help.
Yeah.
So just overall, that part of it's been enlightening to see who matters, you know?
Yeah,
you look at things through a different lens when some of this stuff happens.
Absolutely.
I think that answered your question.
It does.
I'm not sure.
No, it does, and I think we can go into a little bit more. And we've talked about this before. You know, our content platform, Sportspreneur, and we touched. I was looking. We like to connect it to an article that we've written, and I was thinking about what article your story touches, and it's this article we wrote. What Tim Duncan can teach you about consideration for others, and we discussed how consideration for others is often overlooked in business. You know, it's like, we've seen this before, you know, squeaky wheel gets the grease, and there's to a point, but you know, if you're rough, you're just going to get what you want. But it's more of you being an incredibly considerate person. When I started our last business, you know, I was the new guy, and there you were, and you were gracious and welcoming and giving me opportunities and handing me different things. Like, that stuff, you don't forget, right? And here we are years later talking about it. But talk to me a little bit about, like, kind of taking it back, about doing right by others. Like you just said, showing up when you need it most, those friends of yours that did or did not show up, right? And being considerate, and how it makes a difference for you now, because you were considerate, whether you, like, I'm sure you're humble and all that, but, you know, I can tell you, you were considerate from me as an example, how it can make a difference for anybody if you are considerate for other people and how it's impacting you today.
Well, thank you, Eric, for that, sincerely. An expression that I heard years and years ago, I think it was a sales trainer, I can't even remember where I got it, but it stuck with me, and there's many of those that you come across through life, but this particular one said you have two ears and one mouth, and you should use them in that proportion. You know?
Yeah.
You got two ears and you have one mouth. Simple. And they should be used in that proportion. It's almost enough said.
Yeah,
with that,
yeah, there's,
but
yeah.
Sometimes if you listen, sorry, go ahead.
No, that's it. Go for it.
Sometimes if you take the time to listen, not, you know, listen not so that you can talk next, but listen so you can actually hear what the person is saying, is almost a lost art, I have found. So, you know, you mentioned something happened when you and I first crossed paths and you happen to remember it, and here we are fast forward 20 years later, you're coming back to me and saying thank you, maybe we can, you know, help you back, something like that. So I didn't even realize what I did, but here you are coming back and you remembered it, and people do remember that. There is no customer service left in this world, so when you find good service and when you find a good experience, it's remembered. And that's a good lesson in many businesses, including our business, Eric Financial Services. A lot of the coaches will teach advisors to make it about the experience for the client. And it may be a little bit of a lost art, but I think if people would take a little extra time, slow down a little bit, it can go a long way in building relationships, and this is a relationship world still, even though people want to shortcut that.
Yeah. Well, it speaks to one of the four main things you said, which is leverage. And if you do people right, you know, it's not that you have this outcome that you want. You expect nothing in return, like you just said before. But it's just better, right? It's just like you said, it's a better experience for everybody involved. So why not be that way? And so, kind of moving up a little bit and kind of get into the business aspect of your organization and in a business that we're highly involved in, which is social media. I'm curious as to what your perspective is on social media. It relates to growing your cause. Has it helped? You know, what have you seen? What do you think you're going to do with all that?
Well, I will be perfectly honest, which I like to say I'm always honest, and I will say that I am still a beginner with social media. I don't spend a lot of time on it, but I do daily post my push-ups. So every day after I've completed my 100, I will post, you know, I will forward a post on Facebook and check that day off the list. And I have seen other people start to emulate that and start to do their own version of it. A friend of mine sends me a text every single day. You know, he started doing 15 or 20 a day to about 30 a day. And every day I'll get a check mark from him on a text, you know, day 65 with a check mark, et cetera.
Yeah.
So I've been noticing some of the momentum. I know other people are doing it and not even telling me about it. I was with an advisor recently, and he told me that he's been doing push-ups every single day because of what he's seen and what he's been watching. So, you know, social media, like it or don't, embrace it or don't, it's not going away. So my advice with social media is eventually you're probably going to be involved in it, so why not go ahead and do it? And that's, you know, you kind of have to get in on that, or you'll be left behind. I'm a beginner, admittedly, but we've seen the ice bucket challenge, and we've seen other things that go viral. Enough said on that.
Right? Yeah. No, well, I think when you're talking about social media, you know, first of all, social media is the state of the internet right now, really. When you think about it, it's everywhere. It's in with everything that we do. You know, I don't know what the average number is. People are on Facebook. It's like 45 minutes. Again, that's an estimate, but it's just, it, like you said, it is what it is. And I would say what you're doing, like you're saying you're a beginner, but you videotaping yourself doing push-ups is incredible, right? That's an incredible way to utilize social media. You're documenting the stuff that you're doing. It's real. It's not fake. You're not, you know, there's no makeup. That's just, I don't know if you're using your phone or another camera or whatever else that is. It doesn't matter. You're just putting the realness that's out there. And it's impacting others to a point. You and I are having this conversation right now. I see that, right? If I only see it for 3 seconds, I still saw it and it made a difference. And it's impacting other people as well. So I think just that in and of itself, of you documenting what you're doing, you don't have to make it more complicated than that. I would just keep doing that over and over and over again. And it's gonna impact more people, and more people are gonna join in the journey.
Thank
so,
you.
Yeah.
Take your advice.
Yeah, so as you grow your organization, you know, everybody's got challenges when they are growing their business or whatever they're doing. I would ask you, what's the number one pain you have right now in growing this organization?
I would say one of the top pain points, which is a common denominator for people like you and I, is probably patience. Because sometimes patience is difficult when we want to accomplish things in life. But we have to be patient. We can't be in a rush. We have to trust in the system. You know, Rome was not built overnight, that cliche. So patience would be one thing, continuing to keep it simple. And a couple of other key words. These aren't pain points, but sometimes these are things that are difficult and challenging to implement, which is consistency and persistency. And I think anyone listening can benefit from those words in their business and in their life. Persistency and consistency, so people know you're not a flash in the pan.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think that's the, I mean, you have it together. I don't see a lot of flaws in what you're building here, and I think it's pretty amazing to witness it and to see the evolution of it and see the growth, you know, like you've talked about before, the growth that you've gone through with your business, and for you to come on here and share the true stories around it, you know, the origin of it, and you know, the direction that you're trying to push this thing. I think it's pretty amazing, and we're happy to help out in any way and be a part of it. So thank you for coming on here and saying all those things. Don't go anywhere, because we are going into some rapid fire questions right after this message. We would like to take a quick moment to tell you about an organization we work closely with called RODS, which stands for Racing for Orphans with Down Syndrome. We are a proud supporter of RODS Racing. The RODS mission is to nurture a positive image of Down Syndrome, to promote awareness for the adoption of orphans with Down Syndrome, and by participating in organized athletic races and awareness events. Ultimately, the goal is to find homes for all orphans with Down Syndrome. Because of our relationship with the founder of RODS, Brady Murray, we are honored to be able to contribute our work in the area of marketing to create even more awareness around RODS and their mission. You can learn more about RODS at RODS.org. And now we want to move over, though, to the rapid fire round. So we go quicker here. A few may be more difficult, so take your time on those. So you ready to get going on that?
Yes, sir.
All
Thanks
right.
again for those last comments. I'll take up on any help. Absolutely.
Yeah,
ahead.
Absolutely. All right, so what book are you reading right now?
Not a big book reader, but the book that's on my nightstand right now is called When Life is Changed Forever, which is really about hope.
And how are you, is that, so I take it that's a hardcover paperback book?
It's a paperback book. A friend of mine in Florida who was insistent to come to my dad's funeral, but I was insistent to not let him come all the way from Florida. But he sent me this book. It's about the death of someone near to you, and it's about hope.
Okay.
It's a kind of a self-help.
Yeah, absolutely. So what is, and then what is your favorite social media network and why?
As far as favorites, LinkedIn actually, maybe oddly, is a good one for me because I have a broad range of contacts throughout the country on LinkedIn due to business dealings. So LinkedIn has been interesting. I've had other people express interest on this topic through LinkedIn. So LinkedIn's been a good one for me as far as my favorite.
And what is a social media app you just do not get?
Well, again, giving myself the title of beginner, I don't use Instagram and Twitter yet. I will,
yeah.
But I don't yet. You know, Twitter is just so nonstop. It seems like it's hard to step away. So those are two that I'm not there yet, but stay tuned.
Yep.
You'll probably see me on Instagram and Twitter at some point.
Good. Yeah, and Instagram right now is probably the one place that I would definitely say that you start engaging on at some point. The level of engagement there is very high. And, you know, just videos of yourself or people that you know doing push-ups, for example. I mean, you could have an entire feed just around that and have captions and stories and hashtags within that. It's going to get out there. It's like opening the window to what it is that you're talking about. And I think you'll find a lot of people that will be interested in what it is that you're doing. And like you said too, on Twitter is a fire hose of information. The great thing about Twitter is the engagement, the one-on-one engagement that you can create. You can walk in. It's like if you walked into a bar right now and just randomly walked up to two people that are having a conversation and interrupted them, that would be weird. And they might look at you like, what's this guy doing? But on Twitter, that's normal. So you can jump into any conversation if they're talking about something interesting and you actually offer relevant insight into what they're talking about. You're more than welcome to do that at any point. So I think from that standpoint, it's great. It just so happens that so many people are on Twitter are just screaming and shouting. So it's like they're in the bar and everybody's talking and nobody's listening. Kind of back to your earlier point, if that makes sense.
It does. Good analogy.
Yeah. What phone app is most important to you right now?
An app on my phone, which I'm on daily, is Facebook, because every day I do post the push-ups.
Yep.
to motivate myself and to motivate other people. So that would be, you know, that's the best answer I have for you there. I'm a beginner on technology, but
it's okay.
I'm on Facebook 5 minutes every day.
It ties in with everything that you're talking about, right? It's your inspiration. It's your passion, and everything else lends itself to that. With saying Facebook is the most important because that's how you can let the world know that here you are doing your 100 push-ups today. So I think it's great. What is the one thing you would tell an up-and-coming entrepreneur to focus on?
The things that we talked about a little bit earlier, the blocking and the tackling, the fundamentals, pursue your passion, have the patience, and that life is short, and we really only have one chance, so let's try to do this right.
Yeah. What's the number one way right now you create awareness at Push-Ups for Parkinson's? And maybe it is Facebook like you just talked about, but is it something else? Maybe speaking events, phone calls, door-to-door, you know, what is that?
I'll have to say it's really the combination of all. You know, when you do marketing and things like that, you have to have four or five or six spokes to that marketing wheel in case one's not turning in the right direction. Again, it's a daily situation for me with Facebook. So that would be the most obvious answer. But I am in conversations with people regularly. I am getting invited to things now more and more. So it really has become a combination. And as I meet new people, it becomes the daily part of the conversation on top of the social media piece.
Okay. Now, what's a very quick, and we've talked a lot about, we've gotten very personal with you, I would say. But is there another very quick personal story that you could talk about that got you where you are today?
So much we really did cover. When my parents moved to Charlotte from Greensboro, that was kind of a big deal when people move after living in the same house for a long time. That was the start of a lot of changes, and that was the start of a lot of learning. Learning about logistics, learning about role reversals when my parents would help me over the years, right? Now all of a sudden I'm helping them more over the years. So the role reversal was quite a learning experience for me and for everyone in the family. And then just like we talked about also earlier, you know, talking about products and solutions and business ideas and planning for the future, and then actually seeing the solutions in action is quite enlightening. So when you think about all those things together, that's kind of what is building this journey for me,
okay,
for us.
Yeah. Now for a rapid transition, are you a sports fan?
Not a huge sports fan, Eric, but I have a feeling I know where you're going.
Yeah, but you're ahead. but obviously you're into fitness and you're doing push-ups and you got started with fitness. I mean, I believe you've worked out for quite a long time, correct?
Yeah, I try to keep the blood moving, try to keep the breathing.
Yeah, yep. Okay. So, and then sports is all related, right? I mean, it's just, it's a journey, and that's why we love to talk about sports because of our, you know, our sportspreneur platform that we have. And so, you know, we kind of get into professional sports. We like to tie in things that you learn from it and then getting into the fitness aspect of it. But, you know, you being around, you know, living in Brooklyn, New York, and going to Greensboro, Charlotte, right, all that type of stuff. If you could pick one sports team to root for today, what team would that be and why?
Well, being from New York, right?
Yep.
I'd have to go with the Yankees, and I'm not going to apologize for that.
And you shouldn't.
Anyone, but, you know, they've been a consistent, fun team, full of drama, full of fun, so... Given that question, my answer is the New York Yankees.
The New York Yankees. So was your dad a Yankees fan?
My dad was a Yankees fan, and I have his ball cap still. Yep.
That's awesome. And that's what we always see with sports. I mean, it can run deep. It can run deeper than what you think it might be, if that makes sense. So being that we're at the beginning of the NFL season, not a huge football fan. We do live in Charlotte, Carolina Panthers. Who's going to win the Super Bowl this year?
I think Tom Brady's got one left in him.
Okay.
So, New England.
Very popular choice, but it makes a lot of sense, and it's hard to disagree with that. Well, Evan...
Well, I lived up there as well. Yep.
You lived up where? In...
I lived up in New England for a number of years.
Okay.
After college, and, you know, it was a good team to follow then, so that stayed with me.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. Well, you got some good teams to pull for. Well, Evan, I want to allow you to give some final words of encouragement to anyone that's listening, and also I want you to follow that up with how people can connect with you, whether it be social, email, phone, whatever you like.
Yeah, I'll kind of end in conclusion, kind of where I started, and that was by saying to you, thank you for having me on, and thank you for the work you're doing, because it is meaningful work. It's not just work; it's meaningful. It's meaningful work to help people. And to reiterate some of the things that I think are important to reiterate, and it's taken me a while to get to the point where I can say this and mean it, and that is to follow the passion, to pick your passion, and then to follow that passion, continue to improve yourself, make a difference, you know, continue to help people, and do some push-ups and help people one push-up and one person at a time, because you can't do it all at once. It happens minute by minute, day by day, push-up by push-up, person by person. We can't rush it, and that's, you know, that would be in summary what I'd say as far as how to make a difference. It's one person, one push-up, one conversation at a time, following up, being diligent, being, you know, having that focus and discipline and trusting the system. And again, thank you. As far as contacting me, my name, that should be pretty easy to remember on social media and everywhere else, is Evan Juice Cutler. And that would be how I can be found on the social media, Facebook and LinkedIn at the moment, Evan Juice Cutler. Also, push-ups for, the number four, Parkinson's, all one word. Push ups, the number four, Parkinson's, is a Facebook page I have. My email address is evanjuicecutler@gmail.com. you'll find some hashtags out there, hashtag push-ups for Parkinson's, just in case you happen to see it. Hashtag push-ups is on my license plate now. So I'm pretty serious.
Now we can track you down.
No, we're track me down if you need to.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. And we're going to put all of that information, all your contact information, in the show notes so people can get a hold of you. And no, I think it's pretty awesome to hear what you've done. And just to kind of prove that out, I think what we're going to do, at just even in our office, and even get my kids involved if I can, is to do some push-ups. And I think we can put that, you know, not only on your pages, but also on ours. You know, we have some pretty good followings in some of our locations. You know, for example, our Instagram page for Sportsypreneur. I think if we get our team of people doing push-ups and taking some videos and doing some fun videos with it, right? Like you said, doing some serious ones, maybe doing some good push-ups and some bad push-ups, but push-ups nonetheless, we'd like to join in that cause. And, you know, we're going to make an effort. And I'm going to tell everybody here that let's make this happen. And let's get this out there to more people. And hopefully, if, like you said, I'm sure if you can impact one person every day to do something around what you're after, what your cause is all about, I think you're making a difference, you know, one little bit at a time. So if nothing else today, you've done that, and we're going to do some push-ups to help on this cause that you're on. And we think it's pretty amazing. And it was also awesome having you on this podcast. So thank you, Evan.
Yep. Thank you. Part of the key is the fun, right? We all need more fun and humor in our lives. So maybe it's a fun push-up, but whatever it is you're going to do, it's appreciated. So thanks again.
Evan, it was absolutely awesome having you on this podcast. From the positive energy Evan brings to push-ups for Parkinson's, to his genuine caring of others, to his leadership and never give up attitude, Evan is an inspiration to everyone. The perspectives he brings of being a founder of an incredible cause, and on this podcast specifically, are now perspectives you as a business owner and entrepreneur can use for yourself. And for that, Evan, thank you. And for any business owner or entrepreneur or individual that is looking to make a difference or just to give to a cause like push-ups for Parkinson's, I would encourage you to reach out to a person like Evan Cutler. He is someone that felt the impact of Parkinson's and created a movement around it. If you have questions, feel free to reach out to me directly. You can contact me on Twitter at Eric_Kaz or with the same name on Instagram, or you can find us at KazSource.com with links to us on the different social networks. Thank you for listening to our KazSource podcast, Entrepreneur Perspectives, building and protecting your business one podcast at a time. And until next time, we're out of here. A big thanks to Rods Racing for their support of this podcast and allowing us to contribute to their inspiring cause. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It's a big deal to us. We hope you found value in it. And if you did, we would be incredibly grateful if you gave us a review on iTunes. Remember to subscribe to this podcast and feel free to share it with anyone you know. More than anything, thank you again for listening. We appreciate it.